Technorama episode 486, Intel Inside.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
No matter what day of the week it is, I know I can always find my good friend Craig
over there in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you showing up, because we almost didn't.
Right.
If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Or returning viewer, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm sleepless in Seattle.
He is in Seattle. Craig is on the road. He's doing a hotel cast for us.
Yeah. That's why there's no video, because I'm like covert.
We have to resurrect the old collection of still photographs for Craig.
Yeah, my Captain Kirk and...
Yep. We'll get it. The Gorn. You'll see them throughout the show if you're watching the video stream. Thank you for the people who are in the chat room watching the video stream. Apologies for starting a little late. We just had a couple of technical issues. Now, my wonderful wife, Donna, and video engineer... Wait, wonderful wife and video engineer, Donna.
Is that the right order? I don't know.
She was listening to a past episode recently, or a recent past episode, or... Never mind.
Okay.
And said, you know what? That first break comes in way too early in the show. It's like, hi, we say hi, we do a little chit-chat, and then we go coming up in this show. So this week, we're going to tweak the format a little bit. We're going to push that down probably after the history thing, maybe before the news thing. We'll see how time goes. And the other thing I want to do is probably shorten up that intro, because it's about 60 seconds before you hear our voice. And I was listening to some other podcasts, and I realized what a difference a long intro makes, especially when you hear it every week. Now, I know we stick in little things like the media corner and whatnot to make it a little more fun, and the music plays out as we finish. So we're just thinking about, you know, after almost 500 shows, it might be time to tweak.
you know what this reminds me of? I used to use a interface library so that would, you know, do animations on the screen with CSS and stuff. And I kept thinking, wow, this is great. It really makes a good interface. Well, I'm messing with it, and then when I start letting other people start using it, they go, hey, why is it so slow?
Yep.
And then it dawns on me, oh, well, the animations really need to be more like 10th of a second rather than
30 seconds. Like any other creative thing, you know, writing software, you think about ways you can optimize. And not that there's, you know, we encourage feedback, and I'm not opposed to changing the show after years and years and years.
I'll even do this. I'll throw this out there as a challenge. Okay. Anybody that's musically inclined, maybe we want to change up the... Do we want to change up the music and stuff?
I think I like the music. I like the theme, because we've got all the 15-minute, 15-second, 10-second, 60-second segment. I'm just thinking about tightening up that intro a little bit.
Well, I was going to throw out there, maybe just spitballing here, maybe somebody wants to make some music.
Could be. It's got to be rocking. It's got to be techno.
Why don't we, if somebody sends it in, we can always throw it up there and just try it one time.
Oh, we could.
Yeah.
If I could find all those little bits and pieces, like some of that is Mike Menengay saying Technorama. Some of it is you saying, here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig. So I don't have the individual components anymore. This thing was made 10 years ago, over 10 years ago.
I'm just throwing out a challenge.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody wants to do something totally different.
That could be.
So I'm just saying, if they want to try it, maybe we can throw it out there and get some feedback. I don't know. Whatever. Just throwing it out there.
Let's see what happens. Maybe we'll have something brand new for 500. Let's do the feedback. We got a lot of voicemail feedback this week.
Letters.
And voicemail.
Oh, we get letters.
And voicemail.
And voicemail. We get your letters every day.
And voicemail.
And voicemail.
Seven oh 7573024288.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Mail today.
voicemail today.
0118999.
Don't make me play that.
Three. Sorry.
Hey, gang, this is Brad P. from NJ. Hey, Chuck. Hey, Craig. Hey, Donna. Hey, guests. Hey, empty studio.
Yeah, that's this week.
Giving you all a call because of how funny, I guess, Craig and Chuck found the white line transcription.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to an unfortunate thing, which is dealing with my recently deceased father's current spouse. And going through her voicemails to him on his phone, I discovered that the Google transcription service mm-hmm. does not transcribe everything. It does actually transcribe curse words into those cartoon characters. So when she called and said she was going to sic a lawyer on him because he owed her money and he's, you know, any of a number of expletives, all of these very funny sort of cartoon curse word things popped up.
Hashtag exclamation.
So I know that's not terribly funny or uplifting, but it is something that struck me as I was listening to the white line surprise that you all had. Thank you, and have a good day. This is Brad P. from NJ. Over and out.
Great. Now we're going to get a lot of profanity voicemail just so people can see what it says.
Hey, you know, yeah, right. You know, what's funny is I've gotten voicemails like that before, but the guy was not cussing, but it interpreted as cussing. So when I read the transcription before I called him back, I went, whoa, what's going on? Whoa, what did I do?
Looked like cussing. All right. We've got another one.
Hey, gang, this is Brad P. from NJ. Hello, Chuck. Hello, Craig. Hello, Donna. Hello, various and sundry guests.
Hello, hello,
and
hello.
I'm so glad that I was calling number four. I am listening right now to the discussion about destroying inventory or recalls, and you're probably about 45 seconds away from bringing it up, but I would say that maybe one of the best examples, especially one that's been shared on this show a number of times, is you simply take your flawed product.
Let's say
that you're a game developer, and you take the prepackaged plastic boxed material and you bury it in a landfill.
What a great idea! We lost him. It was a partial voicemail, but I think we get the general idea.
What's funny is he must have paused it right before I did say that.
Yeah, he did. He said you're about to say it in 45 seconds, and we did. Yeah. That's exactly where we went with that. All right, another one. We got a fax message again. Or Captain Pike is letting us know he's got feedback, too.
That's a no. That's a no.
Thank you, Captain Pike. Let's try a different one.
Hey guys, Jack Jaffe, aka Trick Overdrive. Hey, let's see here.
How come they're so much louder?
Maybe this is useful to you guys. Maybe it's not. I just came across an internet service called Unlimitedville. Apparently, they're following in the wake of Karma in my never-ending quest to try to find an unlimited mobile data service provider. Well, the weird things about their service is, apparently, they offer unlimited data using a Verizon legacy unlimited line that I guess they're authorized resellers. They have an unlimited data plan that I guess they've cloned over onto new mobile devices, little mobile hotspots. I know, that doesn't sound ethical at all, and I'm just wondering, like, is that at all possible? I mean, wouldn't Verizon just realize, hey, wait a minute, we're getting multiple access points with unlimited account? Anyway, I don't know if you guys even know anything about that field of stuff. I mean, I guess you guys are more into applications and process management kind of thingy.
Boring stuff.
I don't know exactly what your guys' technical stuff is. But anyway, I don't know. It's just weird. And do you guys, maybe get spawned this out to Tim or any of the other techno junkies out there.
I'm thinking
Why
Victor.
Is it so impossible for data service people to allow an unlimited package? I mean, why hasn't any carrier come up with anything that allows an unlimited data usage? I mean, actual using of bringing down data off of a server doesn't actually cost anything. That's a myth. The servers run and use the exact same amount of power, whether they're dispersing packets or not. It's the power of them being on and connected to each other via power and data lines. The idea of data usage is a myth. Anyway, I don't know, this voice bill's gone on too long. catch you guys later. Enjoy the show. Bye.
Yeah, I'm thinking Victor Cahill may have some input to that. I'll run the voicemail by him.
Yeah. You know what? I would love to see what he says about it. But now, T-Mobile does unlimited data, and I don't know.
Totally unlimited? They have a plan where you can download 3 terabytes on your phone if you want?
Here is the title. T-Mobile One is carrier's new unlimited data plan.
And how much is that? Is there an asterisk next to the unlimited?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. But T-Mobile's been doing a lot of stuff, especially where if you have service with them, like my son and my wife do, they can watch stuff like YouTube and Netflix and stuff, and it doesn't count against their bandwidth at all. Mm. So how unlimited do you need? I mean, what are you doing with it? If you're watching videos that, you know, from legitimate sources, and I know Jack, so I'm kind of asking that question.
Whoa.
Just kidding.
Don't insult our audience.
Yeah. So I wonder, I mean, I know he tries to watch Netflix because we talked about his VR goggles and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if is that what he needs unlimited data for? Because if it is, then a regular plan at T-Mobile may allow him to do that. Now, I don't know. He's a trucker, so wherever he's at, I don't know. Will T-Mobile be there? I don't know.
Yeah, but I suspect coverage is a big plan.
And they've gotten better. They've gotten better, but I don't know what their coverage is like nowadays. So I don't know about, you know, everybody, even Verizon and AT&T, for a long time, they said, oh, we got an unlimited plan, but it's unlimited, but they start throttling you after a certain amount. You know, so
yeah, is that technically unlimited if they're throttling? I don't know.
Well, that's the crux, man. It's like, okay, I'm unlimited. I can download all you want, but not as fast as you want.
At a snail's pace, right.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's see what else we have in the bag.
Hey, gang. Hello, Chuck. Hello, Craig. Hello, Donna.
Hello.
Guests who may or may not be there. I am actually kind of annoyed that I was caller 10. So, Craig, sorry. If you could maybe let me know when I should be calling in, then I would be able to maybe even make it to be caller 9. But sadly, I was caller 10. Okay, so the question of the week for, 2 weeks ago?
Something like that.
Was what particular technological advancement has affected my career the most?
Yes.
All right, so we've said the internet already. But actually, in my case, it is kind of true. Because without the internet and without computers, I would not have a job. Because I did everything from collections at a digital patent company. I worked at the Maxwell Corporation, worked in collections. They had a digital patent database. And I was doing corporate collections at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to do technical support for other spaces. So, honestly, if it hadn't been for the internet and hadn't been for, you know, technological advances, I'm not sure what job I would have. I know what I would have. The biggest thing that would have affected my career would have been scanning machines, because I used to work at Price Club before it became Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And as cashiers, we were required to memorize codes of all the products
Ew.
In the store. You know, when you look at the bananas and they say they're 4240, or maybe they're not 4240 anymore.
4011.
But, you look at your code, or your case of Coke, and all it's going to say code number, or SKU number, or product number. We used to have to memorize those things.
Like a UPC number?
4308, 4125. I don't remember what those are.
2319.
But I used to have to know. 5071 was one, I think. So scanning actually would have drastically affected my ability to continue to have my job, because my skill would have been gone. So maybe that's the only thing I can think of, other than the fact that if I did not have the technical willingness to monkey around that I did, and if technology didn't exist, I wouldn't have a job. So it would be, scanners. Or I could be a farmer.
A farmer.
All right,
I started to say ditch digger.
That's actually what I want to do when I grow up, but that's like a whole different discussion.
Farmers
Thanks, guys, and I will talk to you later. Brad P. from NJ, over and out.
Farming is actually getting high-tech, too, so it's not the job you think of 100 years ago, where you throw some seeds in the ground.
They're not looking at the almanac anymore.
No.
Hey, you know, you can't say, this is something I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's just a way to say things. I don't know. But you can't say, hey, if this didn't exist, I would be out of a job.
No, you'd find a different job.
It's not like it went poof, just disappeared.
Yeah, right.
You would have followed another career path.
Exactly. Yeah, I had several in mind before I got hooked up with computers. I knew it was going to be in some sort of technical or science-minded track since I was a child. Anyway, that would be a good question of the week at some point. What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, what are your thoughts after you get into your 60s? You're ready to retire.
You said we had to grow up.
Huh? Well, you don't.
You have to grow up?
No, you don't have to grow up. But at some point, you're going to get booted out of the office and go, you know what, Craig? It's really time for you to retire.
Because you didn't grow up.
Yeah, you're still acting like a child. Get out of the office.
No, that's what Kim tells me. Quit acting like a 12-year-old.
All right, we have a bit of a nerdy message from Crazy Joe. If I can find that real quick. There it is.
Hey, guys. Crazy Joe here. I'm a little behind on my podcast listening, so I'm calling regarding an episode that's, a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
You were talking about Deep Space Nine.
Is that with Ben?
And got to set you straight on Deep Space Nine continuity. Okay. It was said, I believe by Ben, that the Dominion was first referenced in the first season, and he said it was the episode Move Along Home with the Wadi. It was not. The Dominion was never referenced at all in the first season.
Hmm.
The first reference to the Dominion came in the second season in an episode called Rules of Acquisition. It was the episode where the Negus sent Quark into the Gamma Quadrant to open up negotiations for sales of Tulaberry wine in the Gamma Quadrant. And one of the aliens that Quark was trying to negotiate with told Quark, well, you're going to need, if you want to do trading in the Gamma Quadrant, you're going to have a relationship with the Dominion. And Quark was like, well, who are the Dominion?
Quark!
That was the first reference. There's one more reference to the Dominion in the second season after that, before the second season finale, where we meet the Dominion. Second season finale, the Jem'Hadar, we meet the Jem'Hadar and the Vorta for the first time. And we learn about the mysterious founders, but we don't yet know who the founders are. And that's the second season finale. And then we meet the founders in the third season premiere, The Search. So, it was season two that laid the groundwork for the Dominion. And it was not season five that Worf came in. It was season four that Worf came in. I think the show started really getting good in season three, because that's when the Dominion War started, and then Worf came in a year later. So that's my two cents, but talk to you later.
Yeah, I think the whole Dominion Jem'Hadar thing really lent a good arc to that series, but it took a while to get that established. But Crazy Joe with the Star Trek compendium in his back pocket.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It seems like since Generation, Star Trek Generation.
Yeah.
Sorry, TNG. It seems like every season, every episode, every series, it took about three seasons for it to really get its legs under itself. TNG was like that, I thought, till they came up, till they got the collars. I didn't think the show was, I mean, it was okay, but it was like, wow, then it turned a corner.
When it went from pajamas to uniform?
Yeah. And then, just like Crazy Joe was saying, DS9, once it hit about the third season mark, it really got in a stride. I guess, was Voyager really like that? I can't remember if it was kind of the same thing.
I'd say Voyager was more season two, but
yeah,
could be anybody's call on that one.
Yeah, well, there's probably some that argue that it never hit its stride. I don't know. It had some good episodes. I like Voyager, all right. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. And Star Trek Enterprise. The first three seasons I thought were okay. I didn't care for that story arc between two and three with the whole, you know, terrorist thing on Earth. We're going to take the fight in their own court kind of thing. But that fourth season was okay, and then it just kind of, you know, fizzled.
Yep.
Never went on from there.
All right, couple more real quick.
Hey, Firefly.
Firefly second season.
Oh, look.
Captain Pike agrees with us. We got another fax message. Thank you. Someone please check your dial-up number.
Hey, was that a yes or no?
He's always agreeing with us. Then let's just go to Crazy Joe's other message. He's got
Hello,
one
more. This is Megapod Villa's Crazy Joe.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I just wanted to say, I apologize. I forget the guy's name. But the caller who was saying he'd like to eat with Douglas Adams, and he said, maybe we need John Edwards. And he said, or wait, that may be a politician.
Dean Jensen.
He was right on both counts. John Edwards is a politician. He was John Kerry's running mate in 2004.
Yep.
But there's a completely different guy named John Edwards who used to have a TV show where he talked to the dead. The show was called Crossing Over with John Edwards. So, two different guys, but the same name. So, yes, John Edwards is a politician, but that is also the name he meant when he said that they would need someone so that they could talk to the dead author. So, yes, John Edwards was the correct response. And love you guys.
Good Not best. Exactly. I'm gonna just put one more spin
An
on
asterisk?
That.
It,
John
asterisk?
Edwards is the politician. John Edward is the TV personality. Originally born John Edward McGee Jr. He was the guy in author and alleged psychic medium. He is best known for his TV shows Crossing Over with John Edward and John Edward Cross Country. There's another one. The one I was thinking of that I mentioned was Edgar Cayce, who is known as the Sleeping Prophet. He would do a lot of his professorial while he was under hypnosis. So he was known as the Sleeping Prophet. So that's who I was thinking of. It wasn't quite in that same line as talking to the dead.
Yeah. And by the way, John Edwards is from my neck of the woods from North Carolina. Whoopee.
Whew. That was a lot of voicemail, dude.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. It's a good thing Crazy Joe didn't go back and listen and start with episode one.
Of ours?
Yeah, we would never get through all the voicemail.
Let's do the history thing. We're on a roll.
All right, let's roll on.
And since we don't need to roll our D20, on this day in history for October 5th, 2016, this is the 278th day of the Gregorian calendar. There are 87 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 1582 that, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this date does not exist. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
Yeah. And the city of Anaheim, California, is founded 159 years ago today.
Also today in 1905, Wilbur Wright pilots the Wright Flyer 3 in a flight of 24 miles in 39 minutes. That's a long flight for such a short distance.
Mind blown.
A world record that stood until 1908. I'm not sure who went faster or further. I could probably run faster than that.
No kidding. In World War I, the first aerial combat resulting in an international fatality.
No, intentional. Intentional fatality. Intentional. That's the whole reason for this setup.
Oh, intentional? fatality. Well, it was international, I would argue, as well. No. On this date, 1914.
Well, it makes you wonder that the other fatalities due to aerial combat were not intentional. So
here comes
Flying Harry. He's the ace. Oh, he crashed and died. What a shame.
Hey, sorry. My bad.
So this was the first intentional, like somebody died because somebody else shot at them.
I gotcha.
The World Series of Baseball is broadcast on the radio for the first time on this date in 1921.
And that same date in 1947, the first televised White House address is given by U.S. President Harry S. Truman.
There's a good trivia question for you. Mm-hmm. Disneyland Hotel opens to the public in Anaheim, California on this date in 1955.
And it was 54 years ago today that Dr. No, the first in the James Bond film series, is released.
Mr. Bond?
Yes.
The Beatles' first single, Love Me Do, backed with P.S. I Love You, is released in the United Kingdom 54 years ago today. Wow, same day that Dr. No came out.
Yeah, that's right. 47 years ago today, the first episode of Monty Python's Flying Circus airs on BBC One. Bless you.
Thank you. I didn't hit the mute button quite fast enough. But at least the camera wasn't on me. October 5th, 1970, the Public Broadcasting Service is founded.
And also in 1982, Chicago Tylenol murders, Johnson & Johnson initiates a nationwide product recall in the United States for all products in its Tylenol brand after several bottles in Chicago are found to have been laced with cyanide, resulting in 7 deaths. I remember that scared the crap out of me.
Hard to believe that was 1982, so many years ago.
That story scared me.
Look, boys and girls, that story is the reason why we have the little foil and the plastic seals. They really upped their game on safety caps.
Yeah.
It's in a sealed box. It's got that plastic thing around the top. And if you thought your parents didn't like the child safety bottles before, that was a new one. Marc Garneau becomes the first Canadian in space aboard the space shuttle Challenger on this date in 1984. And then we go to the birthdays. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Czech mathematician and philosopher Bernard Bolzano, born on this date in 1781.
And also born on October 5th, 1864, French director and producer Louis Lumiere.
Oh, I could have put money on it that was going to be Louis. But you got it right. Nice French. Your French is getting better.
I like when I get something right, you end up pointing it out also.
And I could give you the applause on that one, too. Yay! There was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
I got so excited I lost where we were. The father of liquid-fueled rocketry, Robert H. Goddard. Wasn't that, what was that cartoon with the kid genius?
Oh.
He named his dog Goddard. Yeah, you can picture the one.
I see it.
The kid with the big forehead. Yeah. Dang it, can't remember. He was born today in 1882.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not Johnny Rocket. Johnny,
No. Stop. Hurdy brain.
Okay, we'll get it halfway through the show. Keep going.
Today is the birthday of the man who started the McDonald's restaurant chain. Or say franchise. Well, I guess that's right, too. Ray Kroc.
Mr. Candid Camera, Alan Ludden, would have been 99 today.
And cartoonist Bill Keane is born on this date in 1922.
What cartoon did he do?
Family Circus.
All right. October 5th, 1929 is also the birthday of astronaut Richard F. Gordon.
And another astronaut, Ukrainian Pavel Popovich, is exactly 1 year younger.
That's just a great name, Pavel Popovich. Sticking with the space theme, Neil the Man deGrasse Tyson is 58.
Give him more syllables in there. Another cosmologist.
Not cosmetologist. You got it right.
Never mind. Cosmologist. Sean M. Carroll is 50 today.
And finally, English actress Kate Winslet is 41. Phew. Let's go to the listener birthday calendar. We've got October 6th is John Derholt, Joe Doe. Itsuko Rumke is the 9th. Also on the 9th is Mario from New Jersey. And my own daughter, Lisa, is also on the 9th. Three birthdays on October 10th. 10-10 belongs to Victor Cahiao, whom we mentioned earlier. Garrett Rafal. And Red Hastings, who lives here in Phoenix. He was in Jack's Wedding. Very cool.
Oh, okay.
October 11th is longtime listener Bruce Barr, whom we haven't heard from in a very long time, but we'd love to again. Yeah. And if that's the way it was on this day in history for October 5th, 2016, look at that, on time again.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hey, if you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to hear from you and get all that exciting birthday goodness in. You know, it gives you goosebumps when you hear your name on our podcast. Well, at least it does for me. Wait.
Hey, I like how noteworthy it is that I got all my names right this time.
You did. This wasn't any fun. I'm going to have to look harder.
Stack the deck against me.
I don't know who rolls when we roll the D20. Come on.
I like how you assume you should just go first, by the way.
I do, because I wrote it. I'm actually writing an application to parse this stuff for me. After like 10 years, okay. I'm figuring this out.
Regex and scrape it?
A lot of regex. I wish there was like a REST API that I could just go to this page and get the bullet list. But you know what? It's easy enough just to copy and paste into a big text field and push a link that says, hey, go process.
But you know, by the way,
yes.
Do you know... It was true a while back. I'm sure it is now. You can actually download Wikipedia.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. It's not as big as you think.
Really?
Yeah, you can download it. You can parse it. Huh. You can import it into a database and you can parse it yourself.
Nah, I think I'd, because it's going to always be updated, so I'm not going to try syncing databases. Let's take a quick break.
Hey, I'll just put it out there because I thought that was fascinating. You could actually download it to your phone. This is... You know, before internet,
that's
mobile internet got even better. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the news, some hacks and strange stories, and maybe even a Remember When segment. We'll see how it's going. Look at that, 30 minutes. We're into the show. Be right back.
At last, technology has caught up with nature. First, there was one blade. Then 2, 3, 4, and finally 5. The Technorama Science Center has gone way beyond all that. Introducing Technorama's Cheese Grater. With 256 blades, you'll get the closest shave ever. Just one pass up and down and you'll never have to shave again. The first blade pushes down the skin. The second lifts the whisker, the third cuts the whisker close. The rest just scrape away the epidermis and dermis until you have no face left. Never shave again with the Technorama Cheese Grater. Available wherever kitchen implements are sold. Warning, Technorama and Chuck Chat are not responsible for any physical damage done by running a cheese grater over your face or any other part of your body. If you experience discomfort, consult a physician.
Hi, this is Martin Wilkie from the Doctor Who exhibitions over in England, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Speaking of that timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right, we have found, I don't want to get too political on you, but we have found a series of clips.
Oh, no, you've already gotten political.
Billy West has recorded a number of Donald Trump quotes in the character of Zap Brannigan, and these are jewels.
I have a son. He's 10 years old. He has computers. He is so good with these computers, it's unbelievable. The security aspect of cyber is very, very tough, and maybe it's hardly doable.
You know what? If I didn't know better, I thought that was written by the writers of Futurama.
I know. He reads it so well. That was from the first presidential debate. It just says presidential debate as a captain. This one says the presidential debate, like from Monday, whatever it was, the 26th.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Let's
get this one. Come on.
To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
Of course, he's embellishing on the caricature.
Yeah, because Trump had a sniffle or something.
New York Post, 2006, went something like this.
My fingers are long and beautiful. That's been well documented, along with other various parts of my body.
Body.
Well documented long fingers. Okay.
In 1990, he came out with this in Vanity Fair.
My wife, Ivana, is a brilliant manager. I will pay her $1 a year and all the dresses she can buy.
With $1.
No.
He'll pay her $1 a year and all the dresses she can buy.
Yeah. That's funny.
Twitter from 2013. Oh, he's just all over Twitter.
Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel stupid or insecure. Huh? It's not your fault.
Wow.
One of the highest. Oh, boy. New York Times in 1999. This gem.
I think the only difference between me and the other candidates is I'm more honest and my women are more beautiful.
The only difference?
Oh, yeah. There's two. One, it was two of things, but
my Twitter difference. Has become so powerful that I can actually make my enemies tell the truth.
Truth.
That was classic Zap right there with the truth. All right, this was in Forbes a couple of years ago.
Psst, and it's not a wig, it's my hair. Do you want to touch it?
It was a picture of a caterpillar in the Amazon that looked like it had Trump's hair. And finally from Playboy 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, if I fire someone who's bad, I tell them how great they are, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Right.
You're great.
That policy must have changed at some point.
Yeah, HR told them they couldn't do it.
Hacks and strange stories. Oh, Craig, this one's for you, the coffee drinker.
Maybe if we had
Brian or somebody in here, too. An Australian coffee house is brewing a cup that has the equivalent to 80 regular cups of coffee, the amount of caffeine in 80 cups of coffee.
Look at the time you're saving here.
Yeah. Time you're saving to your grave. The Viscous Coffee Shop in Adelaide, Australia is selling the Adelaide Ass Kicker, an espresso over cold drip ice cubes drink with caffeine content around 5 grams or 80 standard cups of Joe. I did the math myself, and it actually seems more like 25 to 50 cups of regular coffee, but whatever. The point is, you'll have the jitters and need to poop immediately. Quote.
Actually, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I'll go ahead.
Here's the quote. Well, here's the quote. For those chasing an instant hit, be warned. Not all the caffeine in the drink is released immediately. Combining the minimum drinking time and the slow release of the cold drip imparted caffeine is how we achieve the sustained uptime, Bennington said. Some pointed out that while the beverage packs a serious punch, some may say it could also pose serious risk to health if consumed too quickly or by those with high blood pressure. A fatal dose of caffeine for the healthy adult is considered to be roughly 18 grams of caffeine consumed over 1 to 2 hour period.
We're well within safety limits.
Yeah, unless you have 3 of these things. A large ass kicker has 5 grams of caffeine and is recommended to be consumed over 3 to 4 hour period. Because everybody should have 80 cups of coffee over 4 hours.
Actually, I was just trying to imagine, or I get the vision of Fry hitting the 100 cup mark.
When he starts buzzing around in a red blur.
Yeah. He's standing there and everybody's going really slow. He's like, oh. He's like,
he saved everyone like from the fire.
Turned into the Flash.
What was that? They had something like $100 million or...
Remember he found his bank account?
Yeah.
And that had been accruing interest.
No, they all got money. They all got money and they were spending it frivolously. Like his bank account. No, his bank account went to the anchovies. His bank account went to the anchovies.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He bought the last can. No, I was thinking he had the money and he thought he'd spend it all on coffee.
Yeah, no, the whole crew got a portion of some money and he spent it on, was it 100 cups of coffee? Yeah. Anyway,
and it was like ding, he went from shaking to all of a sudden he was like, you know, he could see everybody in slow motion. That was funny.
We also have a story from the same website at Geekology about a scary Halloween decoration that was pulled off the shelves after complaints.
What?
This is the $30 scary Peeper Creeper Halloween decoration that was recently pulled from the shelves in Canadian Home Depots after disturbing a number of shoppers, although it's still available online. If you follow the links through the show notes, you can find one. Admittedly, that would be terrifying to see outside a dark window. It's this guy in a hoodie with his hands up to the window, creepy looking guy, and there's even a video of people getting scared out of their bejesus. Now, I thought he was looking out at the trick-or-treaters. No, you put this on the outside looking in to frighten the people inside. Even better.
I'm not paying $30 to do that, though. I'm not coming back to get it.
No, but if you were going to a house party or something and you put that outside of somebody's window and you just wait for the screen.
Wait, what if you had a party, you were having a Halloween party, and you just put it on one of the windows?
Right.
So then when somebody just goes, you know,
right.
Now.
They go to the bathroom?
In the bathroom?
That thing scared the out of me. Yeah, that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
Actually, you know, it'd be funny if you in your bathroom, you could kind of work this around the shower curtain so it looks like he's peeking around the shower curtain.
Ah.
Who's that? That's funny. Motion activated. All right. It's the motion activated version.
This is the point in the show where we give a shout out to our chat room because we're doing the show live. Yes?
Wait,
what?
Whoa.
Did we miss something?
The story.
Huh?
There is a motion activated version.
Yes. With the taps on the window. That's even worse.
Oh.
Yep.
That's what you need in the bathroom. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You'd have to put this in your bathroom. You know the obvious reason why.
I'm not putting it in my bathroom.
No. You would have, if you were to use this at a party or something, you'd have to put this in the bathroom window. I think the obvious reason is why. Do you not understand?
Yes.
You're going to crap your pants.
Right. That's the safest place to. Yeah, I get it.
That's messed up.
Thank you for those joining us on the chat room on Sunday night. We do this live every week, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Eastern Pacific Time.
On the Pacific Coast.
Or 6:30 Pacific Time.
Pacific.
You can find the link on our website. You go to the Technorama website at chuckchat.com and click on the webcam link. You'll find it there. We have in the chat room right now Chuck, Sin, Grew, Craig. Craig just joined. That's cheating.
Hey, wait, I'm here.
Marv and Tim Elliott. Oh, you've been on there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. If you want to be part of the fun, they just, you know, they're carrying on a conversation. Sometimes it's related to what we're talking about. Jimmy Neutron. Thank you, Sin. That's what it was. We were also mentioning Dexter's Laboratory. Nope, it was Jimmy Neutron. I had the dog named Goddard. I knew we'd figure it out sooner or later. All right.
Hey, what? Hold on a second.
What?
Something was dinging in my room.
I don't care about the dingy in your room.
I had the headphones on, right? And then I heard ding dong, and I heard something speaking.
Your hotel has a doorbell? Please deposit 25 cents?
I don't know what that was.
Okay, if you hear it again, hold up your microphone. I want to hear it too.
I hope it wasn't like, please evacuate.
That's not how smoke alarms go, Craig. Smoke alarms don't ask, please. It's the creepy guy at the window tapping on your window. Well,
you were talking. You were talking, and I couldn't figure out what was going on.
We have a clip from NPR from 1983. I believe Jack Jaffe forwarded this to us. Is that correct?
He's the one that did that.
This is a clip they played in 1983 when cellular phones first came out, when phones became mobile. I'm going to fade out this music.
You going to play some of it?
This program on Saturday, November 5th, 1983.
It's still pretty rare to see someone using a telephone in a car, but it's about to become a lot more common.
Witchcraft.
That's Jim Engel posting All Things Considered back then. He was introducing a report by Linda Wagner on a startling new technology.
Lindsay Wagner?
Hello? Hi, is this David?
Yep.
When I reached insurance salesman David Meilhan the other day, he talked to me from the driver's seat of his car.
Can you hear me
you're pitching to me.
David can direct.
Can you hear me now? He should get a trademark on that.
Receive calls from any number in the world. He's among the first 1,500 customers to use a new mobile phone system called Cellular.
Cellular. Back then, car phones were analog and had limited reach. To use them, you had to connect through an operator who bounced the signal off a high-powered transmitter. You could only make calls if you were in the right spot.
But in the late 1970s, Bell Laboratories tested a new system. The Chicago metropolitan region was divided into smaller areas called cells, each with its own low-powered transmitter. They were joined by a new technology, computerized electronic switching.
Reporter Linda Wagner went on to make what is, in retrospect, the understatement of the century.
With cellular technology, the market seems wide open.
Back then, it was still mostly out of reach. Cellular technology wasn't affordable for most people. Yeah.
David Mylon paid $3,300 for his cellular phone hardware. That includes the phone, a transmitting box the size of a small briefcase that fits into his trunk, and the wiring charges. The average cost of service is estimated to be $2,000 per year.
The cost of the phone is not cheap, but what it boils down to is it's cost-effective. I'll be able to utilize what really amounts to dead time. When you're driving in your car, there's not much you can do. You can't
dead
write letters.
Time.
And thankfully, it is still hard.
You don't need to pay attention
to
all those other cars and vehicles.
That's a lot of money.
That was a lot of money.
But 1,500 people back in 1983 had mobile phones.
Yeah.
Cellular. Is that made out of DNA or something?
Well, even in 1986, you saw more, but you didn't really see them everywhere, you know?
And yeah.
Of course, they started to become more popular after that.
They were, they were a ritzy piece.
Yeah, well, I've told everybody on this episode, on this show before, that it was about 1988, something like that.
Yep.
I was in my boss's car, and the first cell phone call I ever got was on his phone. And it was the wrong number. I was driving down the highway. It was like, wow,
nice.
The phone. Actually, I'm in the car and it starts ringing. I'm like, what is that? What the hell? And I answer it. Is George there?
Yes. Nope. Well, let me look in the trunk. No.
I don't know what my boss puts in the trunk, but hey.
All right. Another real quick break, and we'll be back with the Geek Library. We've got a couple of things we'll wrap up the show with, and Craig's got something new for you at the end.
Yeah.
Geek Thoughts. I wonder what they call a local area network in Australia. Perhaps the Land Down Under?
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Right there, buddy.
And those of you listening in stereo will notice that Jay Maynard was only in the left channel for whatever reason. I'm not sure what that,
really?
Yeah. Okay. There's something about this new soundboard that I'm using. If it's got mono, it only plays it in the left. Like, oh, that's disappointing. I've had to take a couple of tracks and make them mono left and mono right.
Yeah.
A little sad. All right. Real quick, we want to give a thanks to, in fact, this was one of the tracks I had to convert from mono to left, right. Thank you to our patrons. You do this every week, and we appreciate it, and we try to return some content back to you. Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnaud, Ben Vaughn, Alexis Duran, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, and Amy Bowen. Thank you for
Chuck,
your yes, patronage.
Let's give them a round of applause. There you go.
So you too can help keep the show going. These people not only get extra content that we put out specifically for our patrons, and there's an RSS feed coming, right?
Yes, there is. So you can subscribe to that as well. Like, I'm really like a second Technorama show. So it's two awesome shows in one.
Very insightful discussions we have. If anybody's listening to those, just for these 10 people, if you want to be in that elite group, you can go over to Technorama. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. And for as little as a dollar a show, and we'd usually do about three a month, so it's not going to break the bank. You can give more if you want, and we will have...
And we'll be happy to take it.
Yeah. A year-end special gift for all of our patrons, so it's not too late to become one of those patrons and get your year-end gift. A Christmas gift. Holiday, if you think about it. Wow. Hmm. That would be a great idea. All right, let's fade that out. Bring that back. And that must mean it's time for the Geek Library, right?
Sure.
Listen, I put the Super Friends in here. Listen. Yeah.
Actually, it worked.
I know. Worked. I was playing around the buttons and went, that sounds pretty good right there.
Yeah. Thanks, Super Friends.
And you can be off for like 2 seconds. It doesn't matter.
And how I sort of say ironic, but how coincidental that you put the Super Friends in for the 25 lamest superpowers found.
We're not going to go through all of these, but there are some really lame superpowers in here.
Cheese manipulation.
There's a superpower wiki. It is a very useful place if you're trying to remember what a certain ability is called, or if you're tired or trying to find every hero and villain who manipulates ice, for example. It's also a useful place to find some of the most terrible, most ineffectual, and downright baffling superpowers in the universe, 15 of which we've compiled here.
Yeah, look at Chuck and I. Our superpower is the podcast.
Speak for yourself. My superpower is still my built-in timer.
Your built-in timer?
Even okay. When I'm unconscious, I know how much time has gone by.
Yep. I guess my superpower is to be able to mispronounce even the most mundane names.
Well, I love the self-deprecating humor there, Craig. Keep it up. We have superpowers like sliding, annoyance inducement, cheese manipulation.
Wait a minute. Cheese manipulation. What do you go like? I don't like this Swiss. I'm going to make it into Gorgonzola.
Well, you know, these sound more like bad level one skills in an RPG, don't they?
I can do cheese manipulation.
I'm going to read the description for cheese manipulation. There's probably a reason the ability to create shape and manipulate cheese has only comedies in its list of examples.
I could just melt it.
Yes, a microwave. You'd need to call Cyclops to melt it.
Okay. All right.
First of all, it's listed as a variation of milk manipulation. And really, if you're going to have dairy-related power, you'd probably hope to have the broadest possible version of it, and milk manipulation at least includes other dairy products. Second, the limitations include, quote, may only be able to control certain types of cheese. Can you imagine having the power to manipulate only Gouda? And mold manipulation, which barely missed being on this list. Well, hey, what do you think about it?
What if you could change somebody's lactose intolerance?
Balloon mimicry is another good superpower. I really feel bad for any hero or villain who's stuck with the power to turn into a balloon.
His suit looks like a clown.
I was thinking this guy had the ability to make, like wiener dogs.
That's what I'm saying. His suit's a clown.
Our stench generation. Yes, that's useful. There's a reason skunks exist. It's not just the most glamorous of powers, is it? Insomnia inducement, monarchy inducement. I don't even know what this means. The user has the ability to invoke a presence of strength of government over a large radius, ranging from small villages to entire worlds, and to create massive authority, subjugation, social order, and an absolute reign. Help,
this
help,
sounds
buddy.
Like the second string class on the movie Mystery Man that were cut.
Come see the violence inherent in the system. There's just nail manipulation. Okay, I guess that's the ability to grow long nails or make them stronger or something. Sneeze inducement, the ability to make people sneeze, is an okay distraction, but a lame superpower.
Drink, okay, Flash. You make him sneeze.
Drink mimicry. I hope it has something to do with quarters. Enhanced thievery.
I can act like a shot of whiskey.
Garbage mimicry. We'll just start calling you Jack. Or Captain.
Yeah. It's Jim to my friends.
I would be Wild Turkey is more like it.
Wild Turkey.
Garbage mimicry. I would be very disappointed if my power was the ability to literally look like garbage.
Yeah, right.
Goo generation. Induced tickling. Offspring detection.
Remember in Deadpool where they were trying to stress him out to get him to transform?
Yes. Imagine if he came up with rainbow generation.
Well, man, one, it's like they wouldn't know to look for these things, so they would just keep stressing you out, trying to get you. He's not worth it, you know. Or what if they did come in and there's like rainbow?
This probably looks very cool, but simply creating a rainbow isn't that useful. This is why the Care Bears have never beaten Dr. Doom.
Haven't they?
I not only got the cure for cancer, I got the cure for a rainy day. Worm regeneration, door manipulation, and death inducement. There's 25 of them, even though the article said 15 at the top.
I think we all have the ability for door manipulation.
It says the ability to create, shape, or manipulate doors and gates. Yeah, okay, we can manipulate the door. You open it, you close it.
Yeah, or take it down.
This is not the ability to summon a portal to anywhere, mind you, just the ability to summon a buttload of doors to your location. That's nice. Let's get a bunch of extra doors. I swear to God, one of the examples of usefulness of this power is constructs creation using doors, including weapons, missiles, walls, armors, or allies/servants. Please let someone... What?
I was just thinking, you know, this is the... After a long day, Stan Lee's really trying to get the writers to come up with something else. How about door manipulation? Death inducement.
Sounds good. Rainbow generation it is.
Yeah. Ah, we can finally go home.
The LGBT community will love us. Send your hate mail.
Yeah, Chuck Tomasi.
I think that could be one of our questions in the future as well. One of our weekly questions. What is the lamest superpower you can think of? Like,
yeah,
tying your shoes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm already looking at the next article.
Okay. The next article is a bunch of puns. This is Kid Safe. These are some of the ones that I used to tell as a kid. And then there were a few more that just caught my fancy. So you want to be the straight man or you want to be the answer guy?
No, I want to be the answer guy.
Okay. Craig, how do you organize a space party?
Well, duh, you plan it.
What do you call a group of singing dinosaurs?
Tyrannosaurus.
Did you know that becoming a vegetarian is a big mistake?
Missed.
What did the buffalo say to his son when he left for college?
My son.
This one's more of a pictorial thing, but it says two goldfish are in a tank, like a Sherman tank.
Yeah.
How do you drive this thing? What do you call a pig that does karate?
Pork chop.
As Donna shows the picture of the Gorn and you fighting, that was good. What job did the frog have at the hotel?
Bellhop.
For some reason, I thought this one was the funniest of the bunch. No, not this one. It's coming up. What do you call a thieving alligator?
A crocodile.
What do you call an owl that does magic tricks?
Houdini.
I would have thought an escaped artist would have been a little more appropriate. I don't know if Houdini actually called himself a magician. But anyway, this is my favorite one that has like 7-year-old written all over it. What do you call an alligator in a vest?
An investigator.
I just thought that was a lovely play on words. Investigator. Yeah. This is one from that I told when I was 7. What has eyes but cannot see?
Yeah, a potato.
What? Why did the banana go to the doctor?
He wasn't peeling well.
What kind of horses go out after dusk?
Nightmares. I like the horse has got like a little scowl on his face.
What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire?
Frostbite.
Those are the lamest questions to go with the lamest jokes to go with the lamest superpowers. Okay, that brings us to the end of the show. Only there's a couple, there's a special. Wow, I thought this was going to run short. We are at an hour already.
Yeah.
Okay. What is this new game you have, the Binary Challenge?
Okay, this is to see if our listeners are listening. Okay.
Is this a test?
It's a test, a pop test.
Was there something earlier that we said that might be quizzed on?
Who knows?
Okay.
Actually, no, this is how it works. So I'm going to, I'm calling this a binary challenge. So there's two questions and I'm asking you, is it true or is it false?
Now, is one of these right or one of them wrong? Is it binary that way or could both of them be wrong?
It doesn't matter. Both of them could be wrong. Both of them could be right. One or the other. It doesn't matter.
Well, okay.
This is really to see what the listener, if the listener is paying attention.
All right.
So the first electronic computer, ENIAC, weighed more than 27 tons and took up 1,800 square feet.
Is that true or false? You're not going to tell me. Are you going to tell me next week?
No. We'll review. Maybe we'll reveal them later.
Are we asking people to call in?
If what I want is the listeners to tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay. We should put these on the Technorama page then too, so they could communicate on Facebook that way too. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is new to me. I'm trying to figure it out too.
Okay. So
what's the second question?
Like I said, I'm putting out two questions. They could be true or false. Either one, it doesn't matter. And I want the listener to call in and let me know.
Okay.
Question number two. The first hard disk drive was made in 1977 and could hold only 1 meg of data.
So these could be really close. Like it could have been 1976 and only held 1 megabit.
I don't know.
Would make this statement false, right?
Maybe. I don't know. You tell me.
You came up with the questions. You better find the answers, buddy.
It could be true. It could be false.
Are we using that in place of our question of the week?
No. Why not?
Okay. So here's our question of the week. It's not even a question. It's just a statement. Come up with a lame superpower. Lame superpower podcast host.
Not used in the movie Mystery Men.
Oh, boy. All right. Then we will take us out on the theme song. This black square at the bottom. That's it. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Technorama. This was episode 486. Those of you that are old enough to remember will remember that was an Intel processor prior to the Pentium series.
Tune in next week when we have the 486SX.
With math coprocessor. Yeah. There's a lame superpower or a good band name, Math Coprocessor.
Yeah.
We appreciate your support. If you want to get a hold of us, like Jack and Crazy Joe and Brad P. did, you can call us on the new,
Machine.
or Captain Pike. 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. We want to hear from you. Or email us, technoramachuckchat.com. You can also leave a message on the Facebook page. Or is it not the Facebook? Is it just Facebook page? How would you say that if it's just a page? Anyway.
The Technorama page.
Give me a binary high five. We're out of here. What, did I lose you?
No, I'm right here.
You didn't get me
101. I'm sorry. 101.